Well, welcome to our wine tasting. I am delighted that we've got on the line the winemaker from Klemdor, Kobus Berger. Kobus, good evening and welcome.
Hi, John. Good evening.
Good evening. And for those of us in the studio, the Klemdor is the wine on your right. It's a Cabernet Franc from 2009. Kobus, just so you know, in the studio with me, we have Hein Kreer from Kreer International, Jeremy Sampson from Indebrand Sampson, Tony Twine from Econometrics, Michael Titalius from Satsa, Graham Briggs from Harmony, and Dennis Dykes, the chief economist at Nedbank. And I'm sure all of them are going to be very happy with this wine. I had a glass or 20 with lunch today, and I must say it went down very well indeed. Why did you choose the Cabernet Franc grape as part of your portfolio?
Well, John, first of all, it's actually 2008 vintage, just to correct you on that. It's not 2009.
Sorry, horribly dyslexic. You're
no
quite
problem.
Right. You're
no
quite
problem.
Right.
I think Cabernet Franc, because it's something not out of the ordinary, but you don't find that a lot. That's the reason behind the development of a 100% Cabernet Franc. So it's just to show that there is really a lot to be enjoyed from this cultivar, where it's usually used as a blending component, and just to show how it can stand out on its own.
And Kerry Adams, the convener of the Classic Wine Club from Norman Goodfellows. Kerry, why did you choose this Cabernet Franc as part of your portfolio of slightly unusual grape varieties or varietals for the wine club?
Well, I tasted the Sauvignon Blanc from Klemdor, which is a relatively new farm. I thought that Robertson was owned by the De Wets entirely, and then I found to my sort of delight that Dr. Rappaport from Johannesburg had swept in and bought himself a piece of one of the De Wets farms, which is Klemdor. And they sent a bottle of their Sauvignon Blanc through to me. It was seriously good wine. And when we were looking for something unusual, Cab Franc is unusual to appear on its own. It's normally used in a blend, the most famous of which being Cheval Blanc from France. And it is one of the five from the Bordeaux blend. And I just absolutely fell in love with this Klemdor. It's intelligent wine. It's beautifully made. It's got gorgeous, fresh, sweet, clean cherry fruit on it. And I really did want everybody to sort of join in my glee at having found such a little gem from Robertson.
And Kobus, what's been the reception so far to your Cabernet Franc?
I've made the wine. The marketing and the distribution is done by Dr. Rappaport and his wife, Marie de Wet. So on that side, I really can't comment apart from what I've heard.
Don't you have any visitors to the farm? Don't they come in there trying to get a case or 10 for 10 rand a bottle?
Unfortunately, we don't have a tasting center yet for Klemdor on the farm. It's in the plans for the coming year. So everything is done directly through the two owners. So they take the orders and they do distribution themselves.
Okay, well, obviously members of the Classic Wine Club, people who sign up for it, are in for a treat, because they won't have to worry about all this bureaucracy. They will be able to get their hands on it. And I think it's really time we tasted this, found out what our guests in the studio make of your wine. So, Kerry, why don't you talk us through the Klemdor Cabernet Franc 2008?
Well, for starters, it's got a beautiful depth and intensity of color, if you have a look at it. It's got lovely, sweet black cherry fruit on the nose. Put it into the mouth, and it's silky. It's still young. I think it could benefit from a little bit of time in the bottle. But the flavors and the structure and the strength and the velvetiness of this grape as it slips down your throat, sensational.
Well, I have to say, Kobus, from my point of view, this is already a strong candidate for my wine of the year. In 2011, I really love Cabernet Franc, and I think you've done a stunning job. But what do I know? Tony Twine.
John, an extremely pleasant wine. The cherries that Kerry mentioned are there. There's bits of chocolate, dark chocolate. There's a tint of coffee. The wood has got together, and it changes as the wine warms up. I get an overall tobacco kind of effect from the wood. It's not pleasant, actually. It's pleasing.
Well, we're obviously going to clean our glasses better. What was that? Wood, cherries, coffee, chocolate. Sorry, Tony. We'll get you some wine in your glass next time. Jeremy Sampson, are you enjoying this?
I'm not going to add to the cocktail of what's been added into this glass, but thank you, Kerry. We found a new friend tonight. I'd never heard of this before. And it's a very limited edition, I notice. But yet another reason to go to Robertson and stay at Frau Adzig.
Hein Kruger, what do you think?
I prefer red wine to white wine, and what I like about this wine is it's sometimes difficult to drink a red wine in the hot summer in the Cape, and this is a sort of wine that you can really drink on a hot summer's day and even maybe drop a piece of a block of ice in it if it's too warm outside.
Well, I must say, I've never had a problem drinking a glass of red wine in the Cape Hine. I think you should get therapy. Dennis Dykes, are you enjoying this?
Very, very much so. Very velvety. If I had to guess at the IQ of this wine, I would say it's about 160 or so. Yes.
Graham Briggs.
John, very nice wine. What I really like about this Cabernet Franc, it has sort of a lingering taste. You know, as you take it down your throat, it's sort of as if it doesn't want to go down too quickly. It's great.
Michael Tertullius.
Very good wine indeed. I get pictures instead of just going for the fruits. Certainly the wood gives you pictures of forests in Sweden and Denmark and then that sort of the Nordic areas. The mystery, there's a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of excitement. You think you keep drinking it, you'll get a different taste. This is a very pleasant wine, one to be shared with a lot of people. I think this you could use it for a variety of purposes, from pork and types of food like that, and roasts. I really enjoy this. Good.
Kubus, what would you eat with your Cabernet Franc?
I would go for any, obviously, red meats, strong flavored, all reds, rare roast beef, mentioned earlier now with pork belly. It's really a wine that can stand up to any strong flavored, and even pasta dishes, pizzas. I think it's very versatile.
And are you happy with it? Are you delighted with it? Is something that you would serve to a visitor with pride?
Of course. This is the maiden vintage Cabernet Franc. We've never done one before, and it's really. It's got a unique character, and it's got its own identity. It's really an awesome wine, according to me, if I can say so myself, and I'm really proud of this wine.
And are you happy that you're doing something a bit different? Because maybe people are getting a bit bored with Pinotage and Cabernet Sauvignon and Shiraz. The Cabernet Franc is such an elegant and sumptuous wine. It's nice to see that more and more people are looking at making it.
Yeah, sure, John. It's always kind of a bold step if you try and do something out of the ordinary. I'm not sure how many Cabernet Franc followers there are, but it's definitely something unique, if I can say so. There's not a lot around, so I'm sure that makes it just more interesting for wine lovers around the world.
And Kerry, should there be more around?
It should be more. I like you, John. I absolutely adore Cabernet Franc. I think it's the most sexy component of a Bordeaux blend. And I'm thrilled when we get to somebody who's actually had the guts and the chutzpah to put all Cabernet Franc into a bottle. It's not an easy grape to put on its own. And I think that they've really, really given us a fabulous example.
And finally, Kubus, you've had very positive feedback from the Classic Business Panel. Have Dennis Dykes, have we asked for your opinion yet?
You have. It was so brief, though. I was busy sipping the wine at the time.
Okay. Well, fantastic. If there's no one else who wants to add to that, many thanks for your time, Kubusberger, and let's hope that there will be many more vintages to come.
Thank you so much, John, and thanks for the panel. Thank you, guys. Really, really appreciate it, and thanks for all the great feedback.
Well, we're taking a very short break, and then there's yet more wine. Stay connected to Classic Business, powered by Telkom.
Do you want the inside track on the real issues facing South Africa? The State of the Nation asks the questions that have no easy answers. Stay informed. Stay in front. Listen to State of the Nation with David Gleeson every Wednesday between 7 and 8 p.m. Essential listening on Classic 102.7.
You're listening to Classic Business, powered by Telkom. Well, it's a rotten job, but someone has to do it. We are moving on to our second wine in the Classic Business wine tasting this evening. And it's the Sangiovese from Anthony Rupert Wines. And I believe joining us on the line now, we have Neil Patterson from Anthony Rupert Wines, the cellar master. Neil, good evening and welcome.
Yes, good evening to everyone there, and thank you very much for having us on the show.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. Just so you know, we in the studio, we have a cast of millions. We have Carrie Adams, the convener of the Classic Wine Club, and also, of course, she's one of the driving forces at Norman Goodfellows. We've got top economist Dennis Dykes and Tony Twine. We have Graham Briggs, who runs Harmony, the gold company. Michael Tertullius, who is one of the voices of the tourism industry. Jeremy Sampson, branding guru from Interbrand Sampson. And Hein Krier from Krier International. So we've got quite a cast ready to assess your wine. Tell us, why did you choose this rather strange grape variety, which I believe comes from Italy?
Yeah, so it wasn't actually my decision. I inherited it when I joined into New Rupert Wines. It's a tribute to the late Anthony. He loved all things Italian and especially their wines and felt that they would do well in South Africa. And he was the first to bring Sangiovese to South Africa. I think it's something that works very well in South Africa with the diverse food that we have. And one of the few red wines that can pair with tomato-based foods, staying true to its Italian roots. So, yeah, we're very proud of the Sangiovese that we make.
Tomato-based foods, pasta dishes?
Correct.
What would you eat
with
this wine?
You know, quite often your serious red wines can taste a little metallic with tomato, but if you nose and taste this wine, it's got very much a tomato puree flavor to it and a natural acidity, and just goes so well with your pizzas and pastas and any other tomato-based dish. If you go to Bordeaux and you order a salad, they'll very rarely serve you tomato in it, because if you happen to drink some of their red wine with it, it's not going to show the wine very well. But try go to Tuscany and order something without tomato-based food. It's not very easy, and of course, that's the grape that is planted and made Chianti Classico so famous.
Well, I've learned something this evening. Kerry, why don't you talk us through the Anthony Rupert Sangiovese 2008?
Well, I think without wishing to be rude, it's a very hard act to follow. We should have tasted this first because the Cabernet Franc is a very, very different class of wine to this. Sangiovese is, as Neil says, a far less serious wine and far more accessible. It is always, for me, redolent of sour cherry, and I pick up huge sour cherry on the nose of this wine. But then it is followed through by that sort of sun-dried tomato, which does go well with sort of antipasta and anything Italian lunchtime-ish. And for a cheeky sort of cheerful whatever red at lunchtime, I think it really, really fits the bill.
Well, rather sour cherry than sour grapes. Tony Twine.
I don't think this is cheeky at all. I think this is C for serious, and it's a nice creamy style. It is fairly devoid of tannins, but there is acid there, so it's going to age in the bottle nicely. I wouldn't degrade this wine in any way at all.
Jeremy Sampson.
Just to talk branding a little bit, I think it's marvelous that we've had several brands, I think, folded into Anthony Rupert. And so it's a tribute to him, and there's a lot of heritage here. But it's a beautiful wine, and just to look at the label, the Italianness that comes through has been carried through in minute detail as Kerry's talking. So in about an hour's time, I'll be looking forward to having a tomato-based pasta, probably sprinkled with a little bit of seafood and mixed up, and then a little topping of Parmesan cheese.
And you're bumming a bottle off us again. Hein, what do you make of this Sangiovese?
I will definitely try to get a pizza sometime to get an excuse to drink some of this wine with it. I've learned something this evening, and this is definitely something that will that will enhance a pizza and Italian pasta dish. Especially while I'm training for comrades, I usually have a problem in drinking something with my pasta.
Training for comrades, you're becoming a communist, are you? Okay. Dennis Dykes.
Well, variety is the spice of life. These are very different wines, and this one's very interesting. It's very different to most wines that you taste in South Africa, and I must say I'm enjoying it. And I think it would be interesting to try it with some Italian food.
And I must say, Neil, I would like to drink this slightly chilled. Is that perverse of me? Or
not at all. Not at all. And, you know, it's one of the red wines that get people to cross over when they say they're only white wine drinkers. And this is a good red to introduce them to because it's got that natural acidity. It's very pleasant and chilled as well. So if you're looking for a lunchtime red wine, this is definitely it.
Well, maybe Jeremy and I had both better purloin a bottle of wine from the classic cellars. Graham Briggs, are you enjoying the Sangiovese 2008 from Anthony Rupert?
I am indeed, John. I think I've learned something this evening. It's certainly, I think, going to be worthwhile experimenting a little bit with this wine, both with other wines and this wine on a nice pasta dish.
Michael Titalius, obviously your heritage is Greek, but are you prepared to be benign about Italian grapes?
Well, seeing as Italy was a colony of Greece at one point, I'm very proud of that. And we did win the 2004 Euro Cup. I think this is a fantastic wine. It's quite interesting because we have this reputation in South Africa with lots of French wines from a Huguenot background, and that's what we've grown to like and love, and that's why the Cabernet Franc was just an expert example of that. This, on the other hand, shows where the French heritage come from. The French heritage on food comes from the Italians, with Castel and Medici going across to the French court, not being impressed with their food, and then importing all sorts of chefs. And look what the French turned that into. So you've got entirely two different food cultures, but you can see where it comes from. This is not just for the simple side of Italian. I think in South Africa, we just think Italian food's pasta and pizza. There's a more sophisticated side to it, the veals and all those sort of complicated Italian dishes. This is just fantastic. This makes me want to explore. This is just showing an entire new world worth exploring. This is very exciting.
And Kerry, you obviously chose this Sangiovese as part of the unusual wine varietals that you were bringing together for the Classic Wine Club. What do you make of what you've heard from our tasters this evening?
I'm chuffed, and I hope that the listenership feel the same. You should be able to learn something new from everything that we choose. And I think that the standard has been nice and high. And the Sangiovese is no different. We've had 6 weeks of really, really delicious wines, and I think and I hope we've all learned something from it too.
And Neil, your reaction to our reaction to your wine?
No, thank you very much. I appreciate all the comments, and you, we make this wine to be enjoyed. It's a food wine, and it's a wine made to be drunk, not sipped and spit. So, you know, it even pairs very well with the South African cuisine. And try it out with a braai. It's got a bit of natural spice and proudly South African Italian wine.
Well, I too was made to be drunk, so I shall disappear to drink the rest of this excellent bottle. Many thanks to our panellists this evening, Hein Kreer, Jeremy Sampson, Tony Twine, Michael Titalius, Graham Briggs, Dennis Dykes, and last and certainly not least, Kerry Adams. Many thanks to Cobus Berger and Neil Patterson. We are grateful for your company. Many thanks to our technical team. We will see you again on Monday for Classic Business, brought to you by Telkom.